Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
1-1. Perdula swings and fouls it off.
Sports Talk Saturday.
Towards the broadcast booth. And I make the catch on the foul ball.
On WGR.
I am very proud of myself.
Sports Radio 550.
Yeah, luckily for that guy, he actually had somebody videotaping and caught him catching that ball. Lucky for him.
I just love that line. I'm very proud of myself.
I'm very proud of myself. I'm sure that's what Nate says after he makes a good point every time he does Sports Talk Saturday.
Even when he's here, we can make fun of Nate.
Thanks. Thanks again to Nate Geary and Sal for letting me fill in on this Saturday here with you on WGR. It's the afternoon now. 12:07 is the time. For everyone tuning in, thank you. Appreciate it. We're having fun here so far. I'm here. Good. Thanks. After a little bit of some issues getting here in the morning, but I'm happy that I'm here. Happy to be talking with you, and hopefully I'm hoping to hear from you. Call in right now, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. The topic I really want to dive into here before we get to Matt Bove from WKBW is: what is step two for Jason Bottrell this offseason? Step one's complete. Ralph Kruger's the new head coach of the Buffalo Sabres. Great. Step two. Now it's Jeff Skinner. Is it Rasmus Ristolainen? Is it Sam Reinhart? Is it, you know, just get to the draft and go from there? Or what are your thoughts? Let me hear it. Give us your thoughts. 803-0550-1888. 550-2550. Now, I definitely want to get a little bit into the hiring of Ralph Kruger in itself. And I think, for me, this hire is a decent hire. It's not flashy. It's not, you know, one that you can jump out of your seat and hoot and holler for. Then at the same point, it's not one that you can slam your head into the desk or however you want to approach it. It's nothing like that at all. I honestly feel that this was a pretty darn good hire for the Buffalo Sabres with bringing in a guy of Ralph Kruger's caliber. He's had experience at the NHL level. Mind you, it's been limited with coaching experience-wise. He's been a scout for the Hurricanes, I believe it was. I believe it was some sort of European scouting role with them for 5 years, and he went on to win a cup in the 2006 season with this Hurricanes team that I'm not aware of that they actually won the cup, but, you know, he's actually got a Stanley Cup. Then he was an associate coach with the Edmonton Oilers for 2 years before becoming the head coach for the lockout shortened season. In that year, he went 19-22-7, 10 points out of a playoff spot, and they ended up moving on from Kruger because they brought in Dallas Eakins, and that was after Steve Tambellini was fired as the general manager, and then Craig McTavish took over as the GM in Edmonton. And then from there, I think it's pretty much the same story. They continued to miss out on the playoffs. They continued to go through coaches. And then the laughingstock that Peter Chiarelli is came in. Helped them get to one playoff appearance, but, I mean, man, some of the trades and the signings that Chiarelli made is just going to stricken that Edmonton Oilers group for quite a bit here, which is unfortunate. And not only that, but Ken Holland comes in as their GM, and good luck with not trying to sign any long-term, you know, deals that have stupid no movement clauses or no trade clauses. That ought to be fun for you guys. But nonetheless, Kruger, a guy that has been widely regarded as a very good communicator, that's maybe his strongest skill, is being able to connect with his players. Also a guy that is willing to adjust to the type of team that he has, his coaching style. What he wants to do on the ice is all pretty much going to become on what he has in his players. And I think that's kind of what the Sabres need at this point. The last two coaches that they've had here, Dan Bylsma and Phil Housley, they brought in their own system, tried to implement their own system onto the players. They didn't have the players that fit their system, but it's like trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. That's pretty much what Phil Housley and Dan Bylsma tried to do. It didn't work out for them. They both get fired after 2 years. Now, head coach Ted Nolan before that was a guy who had no system. He just came in, just said, let's go out there and give it our best effort. But Ted Nolan obviously was a communicator. He got through to some of the players, and some of the players, especially a guy like Zemgus Girgensons, was able to respond the best to a guy like Ted Nolan, and that's why Girgensons ended up being an all-star. Mind you, Latvia had a huge influence on that. But also just the fact that he was able to get through to the players and be able to connect with them, and even though the team was terrible, Ted Nolan was a good communicator. It's just he had no system. I don't think Ralph Kruger is that type of coach at all. He's a great communicator. He gets to his players. I think he understands his players. And it was kind of impressive, too, hearing about some of what he had to say with when he was the chairman with Southampton and some of the things they did off the field and trying to understand how things work. I'd hope that they bring that into the NHL and figure that out with I can't remember what it is, just the sports science stuff of things. Hopefully they're able to have that, be able to integrate that into the NHL and in with the Sabres, and hopefully that'll get that to work as well. But the thing about Kruger, though, is that it seems like he's got something in mind. He's got a plan in mind in his head for how to play the game, but he's going to adjust. He's going to play around with it. He's going to see what he has to fit here in Buffalo, and I'm sure that he's going to do his due diligence to figure out the right system to fit in for Buffalo and to help them be at least somewhat of a contender this year. I don't expect the Sabres to make the playoffs this year. I know a lot of people don't want to hear me say that, but judging by the past couple of years, this team still has a ways to go. I mean, we thought last year couldn't get any worse than the year before when they finished dead last and luckily won the draft lottery for Rasmus Dahlin. This past year, they got the 10-game win streak, which was great. We all were loving it. They were winning. We were having fun. And then around mid-December point, things really started to turn for the worst, and it never got better from there. Two wins in the month of March. Phil Housley gets fired, and pretty much the team, they just were not on board with what was going on. It was a disastrous end to the season for the Buffalo Sabres, and now they're going to have to figure it out again. They've got Kruger as the head coach. Now you move forward from here. And that's why the topic comes up today. Ralph Kruger's your head coach. That was the biggest thing you had to do. That was the very first thing you had to do. Hire the new coach, then move forward from there. What's next? A lot of people, Derek said it right off the bat too, is get Jeff Skinner re-signed a new deal. And from what we've indicated, and I think what Mike Ajello said, is that it's not going to come down to money. It's going to be more on term. Is it going to be a long 8-year deal like I think Jeff Skinner would want? Or is it going to be something like a 5 or a 6-year deal, sort of what Austin Matthews got in his deal? Mind you, I think that was more based on he can become a free agent sooner rather than later. But I think the fact is that with the approach to Jeff Skinner, and I think how the Sabres want to approach it is that they don't want to sign a guy to an 8-year deal or a long-term deal, sort of like what happened with Kyle Okposo. You pay him all that money, and the next thing you know, their game changes. Their game goes south. You know, they can't adapt to the style of play that's going on in the NHL anymore. They're slow. I don't know how you want to describe it. I mean, for Kyle Okposo, I mean, he can skate still. It's just he's definitely a little bit slower than the rest of the group. He's just hasn't taken that next step to keep up with the pace of play. We saw it happen with Matt Molson too. Matt Molson re-signed a long-term deal and some good money, and then next thing you know, the game changes drastically for him in a matter of a year or two, and his game falls off a cliff, and he ends up in the AHL for the past 2 seasons, and now he's going to be an unrestricted free agent, but I don't ever see Matt Molson being in the NHL ever again. But the thing is that I think with the way the Sabres are trying to approach this Jeff Skinner contract stalemate, I don't know if you would call it a stalemate, but nonetheless, how they're approaching this is they don't want to get him signed long-term, and then within 5 years of that 8-year deal and the final 3 years of the deal, that pays him, I don't know, $8-8.5 million. We're just throwing out numbers here. They don't want him to be in the final 3 years a guy that can't produce at the same level that he did when he signed the contract. I mean, Jeff Skinner is a 40-goal scorer now. He managed to get 40 goals. He got 2 goals in the final game of the regular season against Detroit in the 7-1 win, and he hit the 40-goal mark. First Sabre to do that in a while. But this is where I think the Sabres are at. They know that Jeff Skinner is very talented. They know that he can score goals, and that the way he played with Jack Eichel this year on the Sabres' top line, he is a very good goal-scoring winger that can be a factor in this organization for the long term. Now, how long term is that? I think the Sabres don't want to go super long term. Again, 8 years, I think, is not where they want to be. I think they're looking more for 5 years, for 6 years. Just because of that risk of what happens if this guy's game kind of stalls or takes a turn for the worst. And I feel bad, too, because like Kyle Poston, when he signed with the Sabres, he was one of the top free agent targets. He was playing at a decent pace, but the thing that helped was he was playing with John Tavares with the New York Islanders. Comes to Buffalo. Thoughts are, yeah, you can slot in with Jack Eichel or you can slot in with Ryan O'Reilly. He did for a bit. It worked for a little bit. But then his game kind of turned a little bit because the pace of play got, you know, stepped up to another level. And it's been a struggle. And I think Kyle Poston's fit into that third, fourth line role, right wing, very well. I mean, the production that he put up this year and in that spot was decent. I think it was a pretty good output for a guy in a third or fourth line right wing role. However, you can't pay a guy $6 million a year to play a third or fourth line role and average like 13 minutes a night. That's just not the way you have to utilize a guy. A guy like that is going to be dependent to be a top six player on this team. And Kyle Poston, unfortunately for him, is just not that anymore. He's 31 years old. Last year, he put up 29 points in 78 games. He's been able to stay relatively healthy. I know that he had another concussion. But this is, I think, what the Sabres and Jason Botterill are trying to avoid. And I think they're using Kyle Poston and Matt Molson as that mold here for why that they're approaching Jeff Skinner this way. And again, Jeff Skinner's a 40-goal scorer. He's a little bit more proven than I think that, I mean, a lot more proven than Matt Molson was when he signed that lucrative deal. And I think he's more proven than what Kyle Poston was when he signed his lucrative deal with the Sabres. But I think they're trying to take this in a very cautious approach. They don't want to re-sign him to a very long-term deal, the 8 years, only to have him tail off in his production. And Jeff Skinner's a very confident guy. I mean, he doesn't sound like it when he talks, but the way he plays on the ice, he is very confident. He goes out there and he gives it all. But the thing is that they just, I think the Sabres are trying to take this cautiously. It might not be the right approach, or it might be the right approach. We just don't know, but I think that the past two times that we've had a similar situation like this, mind you, you're not trying to re-sign a guy. You're more trying to sign a guy that's on the open market. Matt Molson, I know, is a little different because he was here, then got traded, then came back. But I think that they're trying to be cautious with this because he's 26, going to be 27. And if you sign him to an 8-year deal, by the time that he's done with his contract, he's going to be 34, 35 years old. And is he going to be the same player at the size he is and everything by the time he's at the end of his contract? The chances of that are probably not likely.
Now, here's where I could say that it could be worth that risk because of the type of player that he is. He's not a physical kind of player. He's not going to be like a rough and tumble type. So his body won't wear down from constantly hitting people. So there's that goes for you there. The other thing that you could benefit from is potentially calculating what the salary cap will look like in future years.
Yeah, that's another huge thing. And I think that's why, though, that money is not the issue here. Because we haven't heard anything about, you know, it's been a while since we've heard they're $1 million off, or they're, you know, $1.5 million off, or they're $2 million off. We haven't heard anything like that in a long while. I think it was Jeremy's super secret saver source that maybe during the season, towards the tail end of the season, that originally reported that they are that much off. But since then, obviously, contract talks haven't been happening. But even then, really, we haven't heard necessarily anything of money being an issue. It's term. And I think this is the reason why, is because of their past history with a Molson contract or a Oposo contract. So Oposo was signed for 7 years, $6 million per. He's 3 years into the deal, and he's only being able to sustain himself as a fourth-line role right now, third-line role. And you can't have a guy making $6 million playing that role.
And that was part of Tim Murray's problem. He wanted a bigger, more physical team. And right. That's exactly what happened. You signed a big physical winger to that kind of contract. And he's not the only one from that free agent class that got that kind of deal. Andrew Ladd, the same thing. Milan Lucic, the same exact deal. And then David Backes getting the same money per term per season.
Yeah, and that's another one, too. David Backes.
Four power forwards in the same free agency class got pretty much the same money per season.
Yeah, and look how David Backes has turned out for Boston. Mind you, they're in the cup final, but David Backes was relied upon and signed to be a top two centerman for that team, right behind Patrice Bergeron. And look where he's at. He's playing a fourth-line role, and he's taken on an enforcer role, I think, was what he turned it, or what the team turned it himself. You can't be paying that much money for a guy to be an enforcer.
And I think, though, that's why I'm not as worried with Jeff Skinner, because Skinner is not a power forward. He's not a guy who has to go bruising it up to be effective. That's why I think he's going to be fine if they do sign him to an 8-year deal.
803-0551-888-550-2550 here. Darren Dreger had an interesting quote about Jeff Skinner yesterday, and unfortunately I can't find it on here. Derek, if you could find this quote for me. It's a very interesting quote with Darren Dreger, because of the fact that Dreger said something to the terms of, you know, I might be able to pull it up on the WGR Twitter account, because I remember tweeting it out yesterday, because it was a very interesting quote here. So he's talking about Darren Dreger. He was asked about Darren Dreger, as he usually has been. And he says something like this: "My understanding is that contract talks between the Sabres and Skinner are amicable. Still, I think there's a strong chance that he signs with the team, but he's earned every right to head to free agency. It's edging towards Skinner heading to the market at this time of the year. However, with Kruger now in the picture, maybe the Sabres can start the process of pressing a little bit harder to get a deal done." Dreger then goes on to say he's a little skeptical about the talks between the Sabres and Skinner, not to say that he's reporting anything as of right now, and there's no indications that they are close to a deal as July 1st creeps closer. However, that can all change with a simple phone call. Pretty much saying that, you know, hey, the Sabres, nothing's really changed between the team and Jeff Skinner and where they are with their contract talks. But the fact is that at this point of the year, you can kind of put the pieces together and you start to say, okay, if they're at the same point now than they were back in, say, February when they were talking, maybe there's that, it's more likely that this creeps closer to July 1st and they continue to think that he might be heading to the market. Whether then he signs with another team or he re-signs with the Sabres, Dreger doesn't mention that. He's not reporting anything. I think he's saying this based off past experience and where, you know, where past contracts have gone with this and what maybe the Sabres are in for. But I do believe, I am feeling confident, though, that Jeff Skinner will be back. I think he can get re-signed by the Sabres. I think he did like it here in Buffalo. The start of the year was a great start for him. The tail end of the year was very disappointing. But I don't necessarily think that should mar what Skinner's thinking of Buffalo is and where they go from here with trying to re-sign him to a new contract. But again, we just don't know. We don't know where everything is. We're trying to piece the grasp straws and put pieces together for the puzzle. And unfortunately, we can't complete that puzzle as of yet. Again, the Twitter topic of the day is step one. Jason Botro's offseason to-do list is complete. He's hired Ralph Kruger as the head coach. What now is step two? What should be step two? Re-sign Jeff Skinner is still the leading voter at 90% of the vote of the four options here. 2,000 votes in. Re-sign Jeff Skinner. Trade Rasmus Ristolainen. Draft best player available at number 7, because, again, the timing of all this stuff could be very different. Or other. And you're free to comment. Let's get some thoughts here from Twitter and also on the text line here. What's going on? You're kind of waving me down here. What?
Ottawa.
What did Ottawa do?
They didn't. It's
Oh.
Yeah.
From Bruce Garriott you're talking about?
Yes. Go ahead.
Well, this is interesting. Patrick Waugh is expected to interview for the Ottawa head coaching job. At least it's just an interview. It's not like a reported hiring or anything, just an interview. That could mean anything. They could just talk to him about something, or they could actually be serious about it. We'll see. Let's get your thoughts in on the text line and also Twitter here before we take a timeout. Texter writes in, feel free to sign your text, by the way. Skinner isn't signed yet, and you can't worry about the tail end of the contract. The window is now to re-sign him. The risk of letting him go and trying to replace him is way worse. You are nowhere without Jeff Skinner. That's fair to say. I'm not going to disagree with that. I think that if Jeff Skinner moves on and he ends up signing elsewhere, that's a huge hole to fill. You have to try and fill that hole with someone. However, I think Victor Olofsson is a guy that can come in, and he might not bring the speed that Jeff Skinner can bring, because I think Jeff Skinner's fairly fast. He doesn't bring the speed necessarily that he does, but Olofsson can still skate really well. And again, I think Olofsson's shot is one of the best shots I have ever seen. In all the years I've been watching, I'm 27. I haven't been watching hockey as long as maybe some of the other listeners that are listening in today. But in the years that I've watched hockey, and I've been watching hockey as long as I can remember, Victor Olofsson, I think, has the best shot I have ever seen in person, on TV, no doubts about it. And I'm fairly confident that he will probably be here next year, whether that be not at the start of the year, sort of like a Jake McCabe situation where he goes to Rochester, plays like a few games, then comes up for the rest of the year, or he might just start out the rest of the beginning of the year and play out the year. Especially if Jeff Skinner goes on to sign somewhere else, that's more likely to happen. Get some reaction here on Twitter on this topic. Jordan writes in, build third and fourth line depth. Time to get some contribution from those lines like winning teams do. Very good point there as well. Matthew tweets in, find a second line center. I think, honestly, that trumps all. Couturier playing with Reinhart right now for Canada would be a huge addition. I don't think the Flyers are trading Sean Couturier at any point. Russell with a very similar point to the last tweet. Finding a second line center is more important than signing Skinner at this point. Skinner should have been signed in December. Needs someone to replace Ryan O'Reilly. Mittelstadt is not ready for that role yet. Botchel needs to kill it in free agency, or it's going to be a similar story to last season. That's fair to say as well. We'll get more reaction here from you in just a matter of moments here at 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. Want to hear from you, Sabres fans. Want to hear from you. Call in, give us your thoughts on this topic. We want to hear from you and get your input here, because obviously, yes, we are still very early in the offseason in the NHL for the Sabres, but there's still plenty to talk about here moving forward. We'll take a timeout, and when we come back, we'll get our good buddy from WKBW Channel 7 in Buffalo here, Matt Beauvais, on the show. We'll get his thoughts on the Ralph Kruger hiring and what's next for the Buffalo Sabres moving forward. Sports Talk Saturday, rolling along with me, Brayton Wilson, here on WGR.
You've seen in the playoffs how the physical game sort of is escalated there. You think of what Risto can do in over a seven-game series there. I think it can be very effective there. It's now our job to surround him with enough talent and enough skill to make sure we get into the playoffs.
That was Sabres General Manager Jason Botterill with Howard and Jeremy yesterday morning talking about Rasmus Ristolainen there and the potential of seeing him play his style of play in the playoffs. It might be a little bit before we see that ever happen, or maybe not if he's ever in a Sabres uniform, but that's kind of what we're talking about this morning here on, and this afternoon, I should say, here on WGR and Sports Talk Saturday. Brayton Wilson here with you, talking about what's next for the Sabres this offseason. What is step two of Jason Botterill's offseason plan? You can provide your thoughts at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. But in the meantime, we're going to head up to the Wester Hotline once again, and we're going to talk with our good friend. He's been on the show quite often. He was a couple of years ago part of our expansion draft, mock draft, I should say, for the Vegas Golden Knights. Matt Beauvais from WKBW Channel 7 here in Buffalo. Matt, good afternoon, my friend. How are you, and how have you been?
I'm well. Thanks for having me on. And I think, you know what? I think the Vegas Golden Knights did a better job than we did putting together that hockey team. They did okay.
Yeah, they did just find themselves. And now they've got guys like Mark Stone, and they almost had Erik Karlsson. And, you know, I mean, they've got themselves set pretty well for the long term here coming up. But, well, Matt, obviously, Ralph Kruger is the new head coach of the Buffalo Sabres. Just want to get your overall thoughts on what you think of the hire.
You know, I was kind of probably like a lot of Sabres fans who were listening to this. I didn't know a ton about Ralph Krueger until, let's say, early last week when his name started getting thrown around. So then you start to do the research. And I think the more I've learned about him, the more I like the move for the Sabres. And that usually is what happens, because when these coaches get hired, people are usually quicker to say good things about them than bad things. But I like that the Sabres did something that was a little out of the box. I appreciate that. And I think Jason Bottrell knows he kind of needs to get this one right. And if that means that he's going all in with Ralph Krueger, then he has the confidence in him, which obviously is a good sign. And I like that they didn't just go with the quote-unquote retread who has been around the NHL for a while. We heard Jacques Martin's name get thrown out there, yeah. Dave Tippett. I would have kind of liked the Tippett hire, someone like Alain Vigneault. I like that they did something a little different. I appreciate them taking a shot, swinging for the fence.
Yeah, and I mean, Ralph Krueger, certainly from what we've heard and what has been talked about him, a good communicator with his players. He seems like he's very open, wanting to get to know them, and wants them to get to know him. Which you know, I wouldn't say that Phil Housley or you know, Dan Bylsma obviously was criticized by Tim Murray at the time for not doing enough of that, but I wouldn't say Phil Housley wasn't that. But it certainly, from what we've heard, as you've said, has been very nice to hear that, you know, he's a good communicator and he's actually willing to adjust his system to what actually is on the roster, which is a nice little change because, as I've said, Matt, you know, the past two head coaches bring in their own system. They kind of don't budge from trying to build their own system, and it doesn't work for the players that are here. And then Ted Nolan just didn't have a system. So this is certainly a nice little change of pace here for the Sabres moving forward.
Yeah, and absolutely. And that's the thing that kind of kept on getting hammered home with both Jason Bottrell and with some of the different players who we've heard from these last couple days since the Krueger hire. I mean, nobody has a negative thing to say about him as a coach, just from a personality standpoint and a motivator standpoint. But to the X's and O's thing, like you mentioned, it will be nice as long as he keeps his word and that he does what we think he's going to do,
right?
Kind of adapts his style of play to the talent that the Sabres have on their roster. I mean, when Phil Housley got hired, we were all excited because we said, oh, finally, we're going to get to see some defensemen join the rush, and we're going to get to see really active play back there. Well, the Sabres didn't have the personnel to do that, and they still tried to, and they got burned all the time. And that's why they'd have all of those defensive lapses. I mean, you can't have guys like Marco Scandella and Ristolainen trying to do the same things that DeLean are doing. It's unfair to expect that they could do the exact same thing. So hopefully Krueger realizes what the Sabres' skill sets are and where they might have their issues, and he adapts accordingly.
Matt Bouvet from WKBW Channel 7 joining me here on the Wester Hotline. Kind enough to do so here for a segment here on WGR. All right, Matt, so I'll ask you this question, kind of our topic of the day. What should be step two for Jason Bottrell in his off-season planning ahead? Should it be trying to get – I mean, I think obviously the main answer would be to get Jeff Skinner re-signed, but obviously the timing of that might be a little different. So if it happens to be Jeff Skinner, you can explain, but or if it's something else, what do you think it should be?
I think I probably feel a little differently on this than some people. I do think getting Skinner re-signed is important, but – I am pretty firmly in the camp of if you can move Rasmus Ristolainen for a fair deal, I think you explore it. I think the Sabres have finally kind of built up a nice little pantry of some defensemen, and I'm not saying that they're a finished product by any stretch, and Ristolainen is one of their better defensemen, but we've seen this over and over and over again. I think DeLean is ready to take on more responsibility, and everybody says, myself included, that Ristolainen would be great if he had to play less minutes and he had less responsibility. Well, if you can get somebody who can play and give your team more, like a second-line winger or a second-line center, that would be the ideal return. Maybe some different assets. I think that's something that needs to be explored because this team, for as many problems as they had defensively last year, their biggest problem, at least in my opinion, was their lack of secondary scoring. Basically, when Eichel, Reinhart, and Skinner weren't on the ice, this team didn't score goals. And if you look at the teams that are still left in the playoffs right now, all of them have depth and can get scoring from at least their top three lines. So whatever it takes to get somebody like that, I'd imagine Matt Duchene is going to get paid a ton of money in free agency.
Yep.
Kevin Hayes will probably get paid more than he actually should get in free agency. And I don't know if I'm ready to say he's a bona fide top-tier number two center in the league. So if that means that you have to move a piece like Ristolainen and maybe you even include that second first-round pick to get a nice player in return, I think that's something they should look into, and I think that's something they will look into.
Yeah, and one name that I brought up with Mike Ajello, just because that his name has been speculated on the market, and I've talked with Mike a little bit about it before, is maybe trading for a guy like William Nylander, a guy that is, you know, nearly $7 million on their cap. They've got to get a number of their young players re-signed to keep that that nice core, the young core of that team together. And maybe for Buffalo, they'd get a nice top six winger who can score, who can make plays and do everything that you need a guy like him to do on the right side. But also that Toronto would get that nice right-handed defenseman that they've been longing for a while. And maybe Ristolainen, a change of scenery would do him good. And maybe playing somewhere in Toronto where maybe his minutes may get diminished a little bit would help.
You know, it's funny too, because it seems like over the last couple of years, Ristolainen's best games have been against the Maple Leafs. He just always seems to get under their skin, and those are the games when he plays like he does against Toronto, you're like, oh my gosh, this guy's great. Why would you ever want to move him? This is the perfect defenseman to have on your roster. But it's so many of the other games where he makes the mistakes. I like the idea of a Nylander. For me, though, I think if you're moving him, and it all depends on the market. You know, there might be people out there, other GMs, who are like, why would we give you something valuable for a player who you don't even think is that good, which is pretty fair. But if you, to me, the big target's the center. And it's funny because last year we sat here with Eichel and O'Reilly. Well, O'Reilly isn't here anymore. So now you still need to find a second-line center because Casey Mittelstadt is not ready for that role yet. Jason Bottrell probably thought he'd be ready sooner than he was. I thought he would be ready sooner than he was. I still think Casey Mittelstadt's going to be a very nice player in the NHL, but I think he needs a lot of developing to do. So getting that second-line center, I think, is probably the biggest priority.
All right, Matt, so moving on from the Sabres here and heading into the Stanley Cup playoffs, obviously the Boston Bruins punched their ticket to the Stanley Cup finally. I think it was a relatively easy sweep for them over the Carolina Hurricanes. I just think that the bunch of jerks magic ran out in the Eastern Conference Final. But this Western Conference Final certainly is a very intriguing one. Obviously, Game 3 marred by the non-call of the hand pass, followed shortly by Erik Karlsson's game-winning goal. But the Blues, they respond well. They play a good game yesterday, and they tie the series. Want to get your thoughts on that series and where you think it goes from here?
Now, Brayton, this is kind of one of those humble brags, but before the playoffs, I actually picked Boston and San Jose to go to the Cup, and I was mortified with the San Jose pick because of Martin Jones. I was like, man, I don't know if I can trust them, but they have so much firepower, so I have to stick with them because I picked them early. So I still think the Sharks are going to win. Last night, even, you know, St. Louis jumps out to that 2-0 lead, and then for it seemed like the next 40 minutes, San Jose had 50 chances, and they couldn't find the back of the net to tie the game, especially late. I was like, oh, they're definitely going to score, and they didn't get one done. But it's been an awesome series, which is refreshing because, as you alluded, the Carolina-Boston series, it kind of felt like after the first game, like, yeah, this one's not going to even really be close.
No.
So I think a lot of the people in Buffalo are just really hoping that the series maybe ends in six games, so whoever plays Boston is a little more fresh, and then the Bruins could lose.
Yeah, and just watching that the Bruins just dismantle Carolina, it almost was kind of expected, just because I thought, you know, the series against Washington, Carolina obviously was the better team, and then they go to the series against the Islanders, and I think the Islanders themselves just didn't look themselves, and Carolina took advantage of that. But then the start of that series, like you said, just they didn't look right. Carolina didn't, and Boston just playing, you know, a seven-game series against Toronto looked pretty good. Then they play Columbus and looked pretty good, and Tuukka Rask has just been absolutely phenomenal for them. So Boston's going to be tough in the Stanley Cup Final, and as you said, San Jose, you're picking them. So if you had to pick between San Jose and Boston, who do you think wins?
Boston. I don't really think it matters, quite honestly. I think St. Louis and San Jose, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Good for both those teams, but I kind of think whoever gets to the Cup is just going to lose to Boston. Boston has played such consistent, steady hockey. They got a ton of weapons up front. They're really, really balanced defensively. And Rask has been unbelievable. I mean, he's been really, really awesome. And I'm not somebody who thinks you need an upper echelon, top-tier goalie in the NHL right now. I think you can probably get away with spending that money elsewhere. But Boston's kind of showing us that when you have a guy like that who's probably letting in two goals at most in every game that he plays, you got a really good chance to win, and I'm just so impressed with Boston. I think even throughout the whole season, the Atlantic was probably the best division in hockey this year, and that might have made them not look as powerful as they are just because Tampa was so good. but Boston and probably any other division in the league would have been the best team in that division. So I think we're learning now, and it's really getting shown just how dominant they are.
Matt, what do you think about the game three with the hand pass? Obviously, this isn't the first time that we've been marred with some questionable calls by the officiating and the lack of instant replay being available in these certain instances. Do you think this offseason we're going to see a drastic change with the availability for a replay, or do you think maybe the league will adjust the way that they try having these challenges? Because obviously I think the main goal here, and Jason Bottrell mentioned this, is you don't want to slow down the pace of play, because I think that the pace that the game is already at is maybe the best it's been in a really long time. So I think that, you know, I personally think that the NHL should just have the right to just phone in down to the, you know, to the scorers table there, and then they should tell the referee that, hey, that was offside, or hey, that was a hand pass, you have to disallow it. But you know, you never know what the NHL is going to do. It's always a baffling league, as that is.
Oh, yeah, and it's such a slippery slope, right? Because everybody thinks that you just want to make sure you get the call right. So whatever it takes to get the call right is what I'm in favor of, because it was clearly a hand pass. The goal shouldn't have counted. I understand that it's a non-reviewable play, but if you have somebody who can talk down to the referees, maybe they have like a microphone system where they can kind of walk you down to the refs and be like, that was a hand pass, don't let that one count. I think that would have some benefit, because I think most fans, yes, the pace of play is important. Yes, you want to make sure the game is moving. But what's most important is getting the call right, and they didn't get the call right.
Uh-oh. I think we lost Matt. Oh, that's unfortunate, but Matt Beauvais from WKBW. Matt's back here. Matt, you got you here again?
Yeah, I got you guys.
Okay, very good. Just finish up. Go ahead and finish up your point on the instant replay.
I basically just said, you know what? Whatever it takes to get the call right, that's what I'm in favor of. I really like the idea of having the refs being able to have a capability of maybe someone from Toronto or somebody, an official who's watching from the press box, be able to call down and say, hey, that's the wrong call. You guys got to change it. And I know pace of play is important, but getting the right call is more important.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes to get the right call, that's what I'm in favor of.
Just as long as they don't continue to be the, oh, that's so minuscule, and make those calls that way with the skate off the ice, but their legs over the blue line or however that is. I just want to see an end to that. Just, you know, make the obvious calls. If it's so obvious that you have to overturn it, go ahead. But if it's minuscule, I would just say move along, let it be.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
Well, Matt, how's your golf game going lately?
You know what? I haven't even swung a club this year.
Really?
It is incredibly depressing. I've got a bunch of stuff going on, so I haven't swung a club. I think I might get out for the first time tomorrow, but it's going to be a disaster. I'm not somebody, I don't have the attention span to go hit golf balls at the range. I just don't like, I just get bored so easily. So I kind of have to ease myself into the year actually on the course, which is a terrible strategy to have. But no golf game so far, which is a bummer.
Well, I hope that you're able to get out and get active on the golf course. But I appreciate you taking the time today to join me. I know you're traveling a little bit, but appreciate that a lot. And best of luck to you this summer. Enjoy it, and I'm sure we'll be talking again very soon.
Thanks so much, Brad. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too, Matt. Matt Beauvais from Channel 7 WKBW here in Buffalo, joining us here on the Western Hotline. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll wrap up this hour, and then we'll get you ready for hour three. Brian Koziel going to be joining me here at 1:40 to get a preview of the Preakness, also get a recap of what's been going on at the PGA Championship so far, and also talk a little bit of hockey. Why not? We've got a little over an hour to go. More to come here on WGR.
He's a super intelligent guy and a guy that I really respect. And I've been dying to see him get another shot in this league after the debacle that was his tenure in Edmonton. I remember talking to Ryan Nugent-Hopkins of the Oilers maybe about 3 or 4 years ago and asking him, you know, for all of the problems the Oilers have had, like, what's the one thing that sticks with you as being the biggest mistake? And he said, firing Ralph Krueger. Those guys loved him. They wanted to play for him. They wanted to grow with him as their coach. He coached them in the lockout season, and then they fired him over Skype.
That's ESPN's Greg Wyshynski talking with Mike Shope and the Bulldog. I believe it was on Thursday that he was on. You can find that on demand at WGR550.com. Lots of good things from Wyshynski there, by the way, on the Stanley Cup Final, and talking a little bit, too, about the Sabres. Let's get back to more of your reactions to Twitter and the text line for our topic today. What should be step two for the Buffalo Sabres heading into this offseason? Some of your options include re-signing Jeff Skinner, which is totally dominating the vote at 91% right now. But of course, obviously, if you can't do that or if you don't want to do that, then what are your next options? Trade Rasmus Ristolainen. You just wait until the draft and you draft best player available at the 7th overall pick or whatever else. Let's see here. Reaction on Twitter coming from Joseph. He says, trade Reinhardt at the height of his value for a reliable veteran that some other team is getting sick of, like a sort of a Jeff Skinner from last year, that instance. That's not a, I mean, I think though, if you're trading Sam Reinhardt, you're drastically going to be changing over the lineup. I think that's, I mean, obviously then at that point you'd have Dahlin and Eichel as your two pretty much untouchable players, and then at that point, if you're trading Sam Reinhardt, maybe you're going in for quite a bit of an overhaul with your roster. I don't think Sam Reinhardt is going to get traded this offseason. I don't think guys like Casey Mittelstadt's going to get traded this offseason. I just don't think that happens until, you know, maybe Ralph Kruger talks to them, and if, you know, something goes sour, then maybe something changes, but I don't see that. Scott texted in, where are we with Jeff Skinner? I worry about 6, 7, and 8 years on a long-term deal. And I think that's where the Sabres are, Scott. I think you're right in line with that. I don't think money is an issue for the two sides. I think it is going to be more of, okay, I want an 8-year deal, Jeff Skinner says. And the Sabres say, well, we're looking more towards 5 years. Can you do 6? And then Jeff says, no, I want to do no more, you know, no less than 7 years. And that could be the main issue here. We'll see where everything goes with the contract negotiations with Jeff Skinner. But again, I'm firmly going to say I do believe the Sabres don't want to put themselves in a situation where they have Jeff Skinner signed to too long of a contract, and then they worry about, you know, in the final few years of the deal, his production dropping off dramatically, and then having them being stuck with a contract that might not be movable. So that's where we're kind of at right now. By the way, tweet of the day from Chuck. I want to bring it up when we talk with Brian Koziel, just because it is a very, very dad joke-esque text that's texted in from Chuck. We'll get to that in a little bit as well. Brian Koziel, of course, coming up at 1:40. Also coming up next hour, definitely want to play back Jason Botterill, get a lot of what he had to say with Howard and Jeremy yesterday. We'll set that up, and we'll get that for you before we speak with Brian Koziel. And then we'll wrap things up and then turn things over to Brian and Dan, who are at Batavia Downs for the coverage of the Preakness Stakes today. They'll be joined both by Todd Height and Ryan Hazenauer, both of them associated with Batavia Downs Gaming and the casino there, obviously. And they'll both be kind of giving a preview of the race and also what's going on there today for the pregame festivities for the Preakness and what you can do to bet and make your picks and maybe earn yourself a little bit of money. So we'll get more of that coming up later on today. But again, one more hour to go here of Sports Talk Saturday. More to come. We were more than happy to have your thoughts be heard live on the air. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. We look forward to hearing you next year on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.